OnlyFans made $5 billion last year. Now, porn is free everywhere, so what are people actually buying? Well, I think I figured it out, and every business should at least consider doing some of this, minus the nudity. All right, OnlyFans made $5 billion last year selling something that's free everywhere else. And here's what's crazy. The top creators aren't even the ones talking to their fans. They hire teams in the Philippines who pretend to be them, and the whole thing is fake. Honestly, it's a little bit genius. Some of this stuff is weird, but like, as soon as I started digging into this, John, I was like, holy shit, we have to break this down. Did you know that there was like Filipino teams doing this stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've definitely heard about this, and you know, there's OnlyFans creators have entire, there's entire management companies for OnlyFans creators who help them with all of this stuff, and it is really interesting what you say, though. Like, when you dig into OnlyFans a bit, and I mean, their revenue numbers are astonishing, their revenue per employee is astonishing, and all that sort of stuff. Like, I mean, it sounds, like, on the business side of it, sounds fantastic. But, like, I think a lot of people assume, like, with OnlyFans, what people are paying for is just like the porn, essentially. But that's not really it. You know what I mean? Like, there's actually, when you dig into what these creators are doing, and as you say, a lot of them at least are getting, you know, complete teams of people behind them to help them output this stuff, is they're actually offering their subscribers a whole bunch of other services that are not just the straight up here, watch my stuff. I mean, that's obviously a big part of it, and that's how they get people into paying them in the first place, because almost nothing sells like sex. But, like, you know, there's a bunch more going on here, and yeah, I think you're right. Like, it gets your head spinning about how other businesses could use the same sort of approach.
Well, it's essentially a community around a guru, right? Like, if you relate it to what we have in our world in marketing, that's what it is. Now, this guru might be much better looking than the two gurus you see on your screen right now, but like, it's still that. It's still a community around a guru. And honestly, like, so some of the like best marketing ever started in porn, right? Pop-up ads started in porn. Like, go to an LLM today and type in what marketing tactics started in porn, and you'll be shocked at how much stuff actually started there. They're usually at the bleeding edge. So I'm not telling you should do some of these things that we have here, but I pulled out every example I could. Actually, I found like more than 20, which is kind of crazy, of little things that these creators are doing that, you know, is helping them generate more revenue and help their community in some ways. In other ways, maybe it's a little sketch. And some of these are definitely sketch. I want to be very, very clear. Some of these are definitely sketch. We actually have a part two, like a whole nother framework where it's the really sketchy stuff. We'll see if we get there today. But like, honestly, some of this stuff, I don't condone some of this stuff, but like, it's happening. So why not talk about it?
Yeah. So I would recommend people take the porn out of it. Right? Like, yes, we're talking about OnlyFans, and yes, you know what that's what it's about. But this isn't about the actual content. This is about the strategy and the practices and things like that. And thinking about, okay, that happens, and it happens there really well. We think the same thing, change the content, but the same approach, the same strategy could work for a lot of other businesses. And I think we've got some great ideas for you on how you could do that in your business.
I'm going to throw you all of them, John. Like, you know, I sketched this out this morning, and I was like, I can't wait to see John's reaction on some of this stuff. So if you have an idea, throw it in there. If you don't, I put some backup ideas in here on how you could relate it to business. Some of these were hard to relate, if I'm honest with you, but I'm going to jump right in. So as usual, I turned this into a framework. I wouldn't say I was ever a framework guy until recently, and now I'm really starting to like that. Claude has helped. They like to make acronyms for me. So Claude made this. It's called the FAKE framework, right? So feedback on your thing, access that feels direct, knowledge of you, and exclusive for you is the framework, right? So let's start with feedback. I would say most creators have this, and based on the research that I did, and believe me, what research it was, let me tell you that. It's called the basic rating service, right? So men are having themselves rated. They're sending a photo of what they got, and they're sending it over to the lady, and she's rating it, right? So $30 for that. She'll look at 20 to 30 of them a day, which is bananas. By the way, yours isn't special. She's seen them all, right? My mom used to say they all look alike. But she has like a mental template of like the size, the grooming, the shape, what she do with it, blah, 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 blah. And the crazy part is she's filming it in batches, right? And so like, oh my God, I just opened this, even though she opened it an hour ago and she pre-screened everything, right? And often, as you'll see later in this, it's like one response where they just like edit in a name, which is kind of crazy. This one feels like you'd almost you'd almost have to give some personalized feedback, but still 30 bucks, 20 to 30 a day, for something that what takes you a minute to do, kind of wild. So, what do you think of that idea, John?
Yeah, this one's an easy one. I can totally see and think of a bunch of ways that businesses could use something similar. So think about it like, you know, there's so many different, but your customer does something that they would like to improve. So an example here could be like a golfers. You know, golfers are constantly wanting to improve their swing, right? So if you've got some sort of golf business, you have knowledge of golf, maybe you sell golfing products, maybe you have a golf-based service, whatever it might be, or you're just a golf pro and you want to make some extra money, could you have people send you a video of their swing and you give them feedback on it? And you charge an amount, $30 swing rating, because you're going to see the same things come up in so many people's swings, right? They're going to make the same mistakes. They're going to need the same improvements. Some of them are just going to be good and you're going to tell them, hey man, fucking great swing. And so you could have it all kind of templated out, your responses. And yeah, look, you could either do it one by one or you could definitely just get someone in the Philippines to just like template it out for you and send it off for sure.
All right, I'm going to throw a hitch into this then, John. Yeah. Some of them were offering like a basic rating or an honest, brutal rating or like a worship rating. So like, you know, same photo, write three different scripts. And apparently guys like pay extra to be insulted or be lied to or yeah, who knows what. But the, like, again, there's like levels to the so again, you rate the golf guy. I'm not even sure how you would do that in a golf, right? Like, you know, somebody wouldn't want a basic rating. They might want the honest, brutal rating. I don't know what a worship rating of someone's golf swing is. Like, you know, men apparently do want to be lied to. I was about to say they don't want to be lied to, but apparently they do want to be lied to. So the one I came up with for this was like, what if it was like a nutritionist, right? And so you send in your diet, they'll give you your basic review. Most people have shitty diets. It's probably literally like a template response. Like, stop doing this, do this instead. Stop doing this, right? Then there's the tough love package, which I would prefer. Like, I literally created Jocko GPT in ChatGPT and made it this really, like, honestly kind of an asshole version of Jocko that talks to me about my health every day. I would want the tough love package. Like, you're killing yourself with food. Or like mine often references my son, right? Like, you know, if I'm doing something that's a little offline, it'll yell at me and be like, your son is watching. Okay. Thank you for throwing that in there. I appreciate that very, very much. I need that. Right. And then I'm sure there's people who need the encouragement package, right? You're doing great. You just need some tweaks or, you know, something a little lighter, something, you know, there's definitely people in this world who don't need Jocko. And then there's other people who do need Jocko. And so maybe having different voices in how you respond, but it's the same food diary, right? It's just like different responses versus how you respond, you know, basically versus like tough love versus, I don't want to call it worship. I'm sorry. I can't use the word worship. Encouragement. We'll use encouragement.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely makes sense. And what I love about these as well, people are probably going to hear these ideas and think, oh, well, I mean, you're only selling something for $30, right? And here's where I think this actually differs a little bit between what a business could make out of this and where it fits into the OnlyFans system. Like, it fits into the OnlyFans system. One, yeah, there's a bit of extra money, but it makes the fans stick with the creator because the creators are also charging them a base subscription as well. And they don't want subscription churn. They want to keep people engaged. And so having these extra steps they can take also keeps them engaged with the platform. And with that particular creator, keeps them paying their subscription and so on and such forth, as well as throwing a bit of extra money on top. For a business though, you're not necessarily looking for that, but what these kind of like fairly easy, fairly low ticket services do, like, it would be a fantastic lead generation tool. So like, think about if you're a nutritionist and on the front end of your business, you can offer people just like a basic diet review for $30. Well, a percentage of the people you do that for are going to need very real help, right? Because they've got a really shitty diet and they want to change that or whatever. And so you could offer them on the back of that, okay, like, here's your basic diet review. If you want my hands-on help to get you through this, it's going to be $2,000 or $500 a month or whatever your primary core service is. These sort of things are like an excellent way to push into that. Or if you're selling physical products, like, let's say you're offering golf swing reviews and you sell golf simulators on the back of that, right? How hard is it going to be to tell somebody your golf swing is shit? You could do this to fix it, but you need to practice more. Here's an easy way you can practice more. Put a golf simulator in your house.
When I first started like scripting this out, it turned into a value ladder, right? Like they do this to do this, to do this, to do this. Yeah. So here's a good example, right? The very next thing that I put on our list was a scorecard, right? So this could be your upsell as a nutritionist. For the OnlyFans, they're rating you on 1 to 10 categories, right? Size or grooming or shape or whatever. This episode's so whack. I hope you guys like this shit. And then like, you know, the nutritionist can do that same thing, right? Could be a bonus to that thing that we just offered before. It could be an upsell where they like, you know, it's a body assist, right? How's your diet out of 10? How's your exercise? How's your sleep? How's your hydration? Again, gamifying things for somebody so that, you know, they want to improve or they're comparing themselves to someone else, right? And so, honestly, like it wouldn't be hard to fill out that or honestly have a VA, have someone fill out these things for you. And you're just changing the numbers based on the 5 minute conversation you had or, the things that they filled out prior to that or the things that you know about them or what they told you about their diet. Like this, to me, I don't know. A lot of this stuff seems so basic when you really think about it, but I love how it's being catered to the OnlyFans crowd, honestly. I don't know. Some of this stuff is fascinating to me.
Yeah, and I think this the submission and the response on this stuff is super easy. Like if somebody signed up for this, I would literally just send them like a document, say, right, get on video and answer me 10 questions. Send that in. And then we're going to provide you a response, right? I don't think you need to get on a call with them or anything. You just tell them what you need from them. It's on them to record it. They record it. They send it in. Somebody looks at that response and then provides the scorecard back. Like, if it's you, great. Yes, you could do it yourself. If you wanted to do it at more of a volume, you could definitely get people helping you doing that. Because once again, you would just set them like a range. If they answer within this range, they get a 3, a 5, a 7, or a 10 out of 10. You know what I mean? Like, you could definitely like systemize this if you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, you just need a community, right? I go back to one of our businesses. We help people with ponds, and it's like we have a quiz. When they know they need something for their pond, they come, they take our quiz, we help them get there. This is kind of like the reverse of that, right? We reach out to our community and say, hey, just send us this information or fill out this form and we'll do everything for you. For $30, we'll send you a customized, I don't know. I'm getting ideas as I go through here of how you can like, you know, turn this more into a legitimate thing. But these are super interesting. All right, next one. It's called it's like a voice note thing, right? So you submit your photo and for $25, they'll give you a 30-second reaction. So this is like they filmed 1 to 5 reactions and then they just film all the intros. So whoever signs up, they spend a couple hours and go, Mike, when I saw yours, Dave, when I saw yours, Jim, when I saw yours. And it's just like, you know, the camera angle shifts, right? And they put the rest of the video in there. You'll kind of see this as we go through here, but I kind of like the personal touch. This isn't bad. This is kind of what we were talking about with Bonjoro, except we're taking the time to actually do it. Is something come to mind of like how you could use this in a real business or do you just immediately go back to, okay, maybe we don't cheese this and we actually do the Bonjoro?
Yeah. I mean, I think you could do it both ways. You could absolutely do it one by one. I mean, like if it's like a 30-second audio reaction, I mean, I think if you had something to sell on the back of it, it would be worth it to do it yourself. Like fresh every time. If you were just if you weren't selling a lot off the back of it, or you didn't have a really big value ladder, maybe you would like cheese it up a bit and just get somebody to, you know, like pre-record all the responses and just change the intro or something like that, for sure. But like, so if you think of maybe like a real estate agent could do a $25 instant property evaluation audio reaction sort of thing, or once again, like the value on the back of that. Like, hey, looked at your property video and this is what I think, blah, blah, blah. These are the improvements you could make, blah, blah, blah. If I was going to sell it, I think we could get this for it, da, da, da. Like a percentage of those people are just going to come back and say, oh, great, yeah, I'm ready to sell. Can you be my agent, right? And so the value in that, obviously, the commission that's going to come from selling a decent property would make it worth taking the time to do like 10 to 15 of these a day. Right. I mean, we're talking like a minute each or something like that. Like, yeah, it's pretty easy. Once again, if you're a real estate agent and you've got a team of people, of real estate people in your office or property managers or whatever, different things in different countries. I mean, once again, it's something you could share the love within your business on. It doesn't always need to be the person at the top that does it, even personally, I don't think. And we kind of talked about that in a elsewhere when we're talking about using Bonjoro, like, you know, it could be somebody on the floor that records the Bonjoro, or it could be, you know, somebody else in the office or something like that. So yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I thought of this idea for us of like, we tear down a lot of businesses, right? On inside of Dropship Breakthrough and on the Dropship Podcast, we'll tear down business all the time. We do it on student calls. I would certainly sell that. My problem would be like, you'd really have to put a cap on it. Cause I've seen you go like an hour, hour and a half on someone's website. I've certainly gone an entire student call on it and be like, how do we do this in 5 minutes? And I don't know how you would like factor in what they're trying to do here, where it's like, you know, hey, Bill, and a cut to the, you know, the second camera over here where it's like, and then it's just the rest of the show, right? Like I'm kind of smart. I don't think you need to be that smart to see the cut in the video and know that you just got, you know, you got, you know, some version that went out to everybody with your name pasted on the front.
Yeah, I think part of this, though, is like you said at the top of the episode, like these are good ideas that a business could pick up and use, but you don't have to do it exactly the same way they're doing it on OnlyFans, right? I mean, you could do this in a more genuine way, I think, than some OnlyFans creators do, and still it would be worthwhile. Like I say, I think if you've got a good product or a good service running off the back of whatever you're doing here, it's worth it to take the actual time and truly make it personalized for sure.
All right, there's a few here that are more, like you mentioned, for retention, right? So this one is one of those. When they're doing the rating, they add a comparison in there. They just add something that says, you're bigger than 80% of my fans, or everyone gets told they're in the top 20% of this category, right? Or best groomed men I've seen this month, something like that, right? So she's saying these things to everybody because it makes you feel good, it makes you want to stay there, or it makes you want to improve, right? So immediately my brain went to golf. The moment you tell this golfer who's, you know, struggling, and you say, hey, your swing is better than 70% of the people that I work with, you don't actually have any data, you have nothing made up, you're just like, oh, this swing kind of looks good, or best natural tempo I've seen this year, you're creating this like false sense of superiority. And you know, we as men, like, I love that South Park episode where it's like, that's, you know, that's all we are, right? Our egos are huge. And if a golf coach tells you you're a little bit better than the pack, but you're also not at the top, you're going to continue striving to be at the top, right? So I kind of like this like little retention method here. I found it pretty fascinating, actually.
I fucking hate it. It's like, it's fake. You know, I don't like fake things. I don't like this. So like, I don't know. I didn't see it. Like, I mean, if you're telling a golf dude, like, and this is where I think in the real world, this is less effective than on OnlyFans, because on OnlyFans, like when a creator is seeing like a dude's weighing and she's like, oh, it's, you know, 90% bigger than all of the other ones I saw this month. The dude doesn't know, because he's not going to go and stand in a line with 10 other guys and get his weighing out and they're going to stand around and compare sizes. So he doesn't actually know if that's true or not, but he definitely doesn't know that it's not true. And he has no way of working that out.
So that's okay? But is that where your line is? Where, like, if he doesn't quite know, it's okay?
No, but there's less likely there's going to be blowback on you for this. If you do it with golf, if you say your swing is better than 70% of X group of handicappers I teach, and that dude happens to play with those people, and he's like, well, how come when I play with other people like at my level, I fucking lose all the time? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's automatically kind of like, yeah, is this person telling me the truth or not? Because I can actually see the real world. I can make real world comparisons between myself and other people who do the same thing. And I think you've got to, like, you know, I'm always on about it. I don't like lying in your marketing, but like, this is a place where I think you can actually get found out that you're lying much more easily than some of the other things we said. If you were doing them and you were actually lying, you probably wouldn't get found out about it. This is one where I think you could.
Yeah, but it's just an opportunity for the upsell. Be like, your swing is beautiful, but you have a problem with your slice. Now take my slice workshop this weekend, right?
Oh, like, look at the Dark Lord going at it over here.
Hey, I'm leaning in, man. I'm leaning in.
Hey, John here for just a sec. You know how we're always breaking down these wild business ideas and road testing opportunities that other podcasts won't touch? Well, we're growing our own business here, this podcast, and we need your help. So here's the deal. If the Low Bar podcast has given you that holy shit, I can actually do this moment, or just made your commute less boring, help us out. If you're watching on YouTube, go and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, go to our profile page on Spotify and smash that 5-star button. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit the review button and leave us a review. It takes you just 30 seconds, costs you nothing, but helps us reach more people who think starting a business is rocket science, which it's not. And it will also give us the momentum we need to do even more fun and crazy business stuff right here for your entertainment. We love to keep it real with you. Now keep it real with us. Let's grow this thing together.
All right. Next one is, I think you'll like this one. $100 for a live reaction where she opens your photo for the first time on camera, pre-screened, of course, but you know, she practices her surprise face for this. Oh my God, I wasn't expecting that.
So big.
But she knew it was coming, right? And so when I tried to think of a version for this, I actually came up with a tattoo artist. Now you would know better than me. You're covered in tattoos. I literally have zero. But it kind of, I don't know, it kind of went back to some of the live streaming stuff we were doing. Like, could a tattoo artist, do they react to your drawings? Like when you bring in a drawing, are they like, do they give a shit? Because my brain immediately went like, if you pay them to react to yours, like a famous tattoo artist who has a kit channel or something like that, if you're paying them for a live design reaction, I assume you want to be validated by that tattoo artist, right? Or somebody does, the tattoo artist community. That's where my brain went the first time. I don't know. You tell me, you're the tattoo guy.
Yeah, look, if it was a tattoo artist that you were looking to get a tattoo from, I mean, they do the design, right? You give them some reference material and that sort of, and an idea, and you say, this is what I want, blah, blah, blah. But they should be going and doing it in their own style, you know, with that as like an inspiration. I would love to see, I think it would be hilarious to see tattoo artists, like decent ones, give live reactions to people's existing tattoos. Like, oh, I just got this new tattoo. What do you think? Is it good? Because there are so many dog shit tattoos that get done. Like, people would get absolutely destroyed in some cases, which would be amusing.
But you'd almost have to lie there too. Like, almost all of this is you know, a form of deception, right? Like, no tattoo artist is going to be thrilled with 90% of the ones they see, and they can't just shit all over everybody. Or like, you know, then you're only attracting a crowd of people who want to get shit on, right? Then you're submitting somebody you saw on Facebook's tattoo of the, you know, that tiger looking thing they got on their arm, because you just want to see his reaction rather than like actually get roasted for your own.
Yeah, no. I think tattoos is a bad, is maybe it's not a good example, because it's really hard to change. Like, if you just got a new tattoo and it's fucking terrible, like, it's hard to change that. You might be able to get it improved, but you also might not be able to. And it's also hard to get rid of it. Once again, you can, but it's not easy. And so maybe that's not quite the best example. I think you could give harsh reviews on something to somebody if they have an opportunity to improve that thing somehow. And once again, maybe that somehow is something that you offer, right? Potentially. Once again, like golf swings as an example, and people out there listening can think of like, how might this work in your own business? But like a golf swing, you could say to somebody, holy shit, man, that is the worst swing I've seen in ages. Like, if somebody wanted an honest reaction, and you can give them that live reaction, but then you could follow it up with, what you need to do is change the position of your feet. You know what I mean? Like, your shoulders are in completely the wrong place, blah, blah, blah. And you could actually, because they could fix that pretty easily, right? Or maybe not easily, but with some practice, they could fix it. I think there's situations where you can be brutally honest and situations where it's probably a bit harder.
Well, again, going back to basic business fundamentals, you're going to have upsells, right? And so these next two kind of fall into the same thing for me. They feel like an upsell, right? So rate one photo, $30. Rate five photos, $100. It just seems like a no-brainer to do that. I'm not sure how you would, is it five different angles of what you're sending in? I'm not really sure there, but it seems like a deal. She's going to spend the same 2 minutes, right? You're honestly just like, it's the same responses. She doesn't even need to look at these, right? To have a Filipino team to respond to these things. You would do this in any service business, right? You're going to quote one area. You're also going to walk around, you know, the property, right? And you're going to be like, well, we could do this and we could do this, right? Your driveway needs X and your siding needs Y. That's going to be super, super easy to do, right? And so same with rush delivery, right? I saw this when I was researching of like, 48 hours to get a normal rating or a priority for $20 more, right? I'll put you to the front of the line. You're going to film them all at once anyway, right? So whether you do a few extra today or do, you know, a couple more down the line 48 hours from now, it doesn't really matter. And so these two feel like something everyone should be doing in their business. And it doesn't feel like sketchy. It just feels like, you know, an opportunity to make someone feel like they're getting more value. And who doesn't want, you know, a bulk discount, if you will, or a rush order? Like, people are willing to pay for those things.
Yeah, I love bulk discounts. You know, you can use them in so many different ways. And yeah, I think every business should have, you know, particularly where you have the avenue to, for somebody to have multiple of the same thing or whatever, you should definitely have bulk discounts built into your business. E-commerce, yes. Service-based stuff, yes. Maybe it's like you buy five appointments rather than one appointment. You know, like, I mean, it's a classic one for sure.
Yeah, same with Rush. When I was selling my business and I needed my lawyer that day, I needed something answered today. He's like, okay, well, my rate when we talk right now is this. And if you can wait a day or two, it's this. And, you know, it is what it is. I needed an answer right now. So I think those are pretty normal things in business, if you will, right?
But I bet you there's plenty of businesses out there that aren't doing it, right? Like, I mean, we talk to people in, you know, the e-commerce world all the time. And I look at lots of businesses where they're selling a product, and particularly if they're selling business to business, and there are people that have multiple of those products, they're not offering anybody any way to easily just get a bulk discount. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, it should be built into like your product pages if you have that. Like, somebody just clicks a button. They shouldn't need to like call you up and make it really tricky and all that sort of thing. So they sound like really basic, simple things like having rush delivery or priority processing or, you know, whatever, which, you know, some of these people on OnlyFans are doing very well. But like almost any business, I think, could be doing a version of this. And I don't see that many people doing it, if I'm honest.
Oh, this next one, I am doing this myself, literally, in something I pay for. So this one actually kind of triggered me a little bit, right? So it's called the recurring subscription model, like the rate of the month club. So for $50 a month, you get unlimited ratings, right? Most guys will send 1 to 2 max. They'll probably forget about it. Those who send more get increasingly generic responses that you've templated out, like love this angle or things like that, or great one or whatever, right? There's going to be some outliers who take too much advantage of this. But I would say most people fall in the bucket of they'll kind of forget about this, right? We've seen it in subscriptions that we've had to one of our businesses. We've seen it in coaching people. People buy these long coaching calls, and then after 6 months, you'll be like, where'd they go, right? They stop showing up kind of thing. So I immediately thought of the car wash that I go to. So my wife and I have a car wash subscription, unlimited car washes. Now, my wife is the outlier. She is there every day to keep her truck nice and shiny.
Really?
And I'm the opposite, right? I probably go once a month, right? And so like they're counting on people like me, you know, same thing with gym memberships, right? They're counting on most people who don't ever show up, and the people who do show up, great. Makes it look big. You know, I took a note here for a dog trainer, John, of like monthly behavior check-ins, right? So can they do $75 for unlimited video reviews? And honestly, you know, people are, they're busy. They're not going to send these things, right? They know they can. They buy this for the certainty that they can send you this, but they're likely not going to send it to you. And your responses are, you know, keep working on helping them sit, or, oh my gosh, it didn't jump up on you when you greeted it. Like, it's going to be very templated responses for dogs, I would assume. Again, I'm not a dog guy, but like, this one seemed very obvious to me that somewhere in your business you can do this.
Yeah, and there's lots of examples of this out there where you can see that people are charging a fixed amount for what feels like an unlimited amount of effort, and the reality is that's exactly how it plays out. And almost nobody takes it up to its fullest extent. But it sounds great from a marketing perspective. Oh my God, I could do this as many times as I want for this much money. Nobody does. It's like, you know, I go to a gym, right? And I go there 5 days a week. I go there at pretty much the same time every day. My gym membership is like most gym memberships. You know, I pay per fortnight and I can go as much as I want in that fortnight. And so you would think, well, if everybody went twice a day, the machines would wear out quicker and, you know, things would need more cleaning and it would cost the gym more and blah, blah, blah. That's not what happens. I'm literally the only person who is in this gym 5 days a week at the time that I go. Every other day, there's different people. So nobody's using it 5 times a week. They could, but nobody does. Like most people, I see the same person maybe twice a week. So once again, I'm a bit of an outlier there because I may be a bit insane about it and I'm very consistent with a lot of things, but most people aren't. Most people forget they've actually paid for these things as well. Once again, you can say, well, aren't you just ripping people off then? It's like, no, but like some people sign up for these things, like particularly if it's less than $100 a month, and they just forget they're even paying for them. Like, I would guarantee you, like, half the people who are paying for OnlyFans don't even access it at all regularly. Signed up to it. Oh, we've all done it. You get signed up to a $9 subscription and you see that charge every month and you're like, oh, yeah, I should probably cancel that. And then you completely forget and you don't. And it just keeps coming. It keeps coming. And then 12 months later, you're like, oh, I've been paying that for 12 months. I completely forgot about it.
There's a lot of services out there. Marketing is like, we'll get rid of all these charges for you that you're forgetting about. So, yeah, it's definitely a thing. But I think people want that direct feedback, right? They want they could go watch a golf pro on YouTube, or they could have a golf pro send them a personalized video, right? They want that direct feedback. They want to feel special, right? All right. So the next one, we are going too slow on this. We're going to speed it up, right? So we're into the A now. A stands for access. A lot of these things I actually think are like really implementable, if that's a word, in your business. I actually think these aren't bad. Some of these are like automated. So the first one is like an automated good morning message, right? So good morning, baby messages, like between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m., 30 different variations pre-written, thinking about you, woke up missing you, things like that. Can't stop thinking about you last night. They are scheduled to send randomly to different time zones. You think she woke up thinking about you, but she's asleep. It's automated anyway. It doesn't even matter. And so the example I thought of was like real estate, right? Just schedule out posts when a new house is going to come on the market that you're going to market. Like, good morning, just saw a house that screams your name, right? And just like schedule these, or new listing in your area, or rates have dropped, let's talk, or like just another reason to engage with your customer or engage with your community or make someone feel special. This feels like something I should have been doing the last 10 years in every business I've been part of. And I actually kind of feel stupid that I'm not doing it.
Yeah, look, people definitely pay for extra access, and like extra access brings like it makes them feel special, but also it can be inside information as well. And so I like that real estate agent example. You know, not only do you get you're feeling special, but maybe you're sharing something with them that feels like they're a priority sort of thing. And once again, people pay for that.
You could batch all this stuff, right? So same with the next one, voice message batch recording, like Sunday. Spend Sunday recording 50 voice messages. They're on OnlyFans are doing like, hey, John, just thinking about you. Hey, Mike, just thinking about you, right? Same message, different names, scheduled throughout the week. And so like, could the golf pro do this? Could the golf pro who's in his recliner on Sunday watching football just pull out his phone and be like, oh, you know what? I saw a pro do this on the TV today and I was thinking about you, right? Or hey, I was at the range this week and I thought about your slice or something. Like all of that stuff is it really kind of punched me in the face, John, of like, this is so easy to just continue those connections, right? And like it's going to improve the relationship you have with somebody. And sure, would they like it if I woke up in the morning and was thinking about them and actually sent the message? Yes, but they don't know. They're none the wiser, right? I actually did think about them last Tuesday or Sunday sitting on my couch. I was thinking about my clients. This one felt personal to me that I should have been doing this certainly with every consulting client I've ever had. I should just send a message. I think there's some people who are really good at this that I'm friends with. If they pass through something that reminds me of them, they send me a message. And it means a lot. Like, hey, holy shit, they were thinking of me. That's really cool. I try to do this before. Some people seem way more receptive to it than others, but like, this feels like something you should just be doing as part of like your relationship building in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reality is that you do think about the people that you have those relationships with. And so this would relate to somebody who's a coach and you've got clients. It could relate to, yeah, once again, you've got a service business, you've got regular customers, or, you know, it could even be you've got an e-commerce business, you're working with suppliers maybe, and your suppliers are the people you want to have good relationships with. And so you're definitely going to think about those people. And I think most of us know we do that, but you just don't record your thoughts, right? So it's just like adding, in terms of batching it up and stuff, it's just like you have the thoughts, just whip out your phone, you know, turn the front camera on and just record it. Say, hey man, I was just thinking about you, this was in my mind, here's an idea I've got for you, blah blah blah. And like, yeah, this stuff is massive for, once again, maintaining the connection. So like, if it's OnlyFans, they're sending these things out to their best customers to keep them paying, to keep them coming back, make them feel special. So they come and they keep subscribing and maybe they pay for more ratings and more ratings picks and all of this sort of thing. And for your business though, like doing this is about, yeah, maybe you do have a recurring charge business model. It stops churn or it cuts down on churn in that. And so you could definitely batch it up though, for sure. Once a week, just record them all and then drip them out throughout the week or whenever it's relevant. Absolutely.
All right. So another one that I saw was like real-time texting again. This is where your Filipino VA team comes in, right? But they work shifts. They have response flow charts like some of the videos I saw on this, John. Like, this is really in-depth. I was actually very impressed with this. It's just like, if they say this, response A, B, or C. If they say this, here's a different tree. What are you wearing? Here's a template response. Like, all of this stuff is super scripted. And I was like, where can you offer this in your business where it's like real-time texting? Like, what comes to mind for you? Like, where would you... I'm trying to think of a business where you would run where like real-time texting would mean a thing. I started thinking of like plumbers, like, you know, could you, you know, somewhere where you like, you have an emergency and you just want an answer. Certainly doctors. I know that process of like, man, I just need an answer or something. And you get a templated response that says, yeah, please come in and pay us $200 to see a doctor to answer this question. Right. I would pay for that real-time texting on that. Even if it was their team answering, I would just like an answer, or a plumber, if something's wrong in my house, I don't want to call a plumber and they'll be there in 2 days. Right. Or, you know, maybe they'll be out there in a few hours. Can I just get an answer? I don't know if anything comes to mind for you.
Yes, I think a good one, we mentioned it earlier, like let's say you're a nutritionist or some sort of person in the fitness space, maybe a personal trainer even. And like you could have such a thing where like if somebody's, you know, they've got a diet plan or an eating plan that they're trying to stick to and you're trying to help them adhere to it. Obviously there's going to be times where they're like, oh man, I really want to eat that pizza. I'm going to eat a whole pizza. I'm going to do it. Like they could text you and say, hey, I'm about to eat pizza, help. And obviously you could have some pre-scripted responses to that to just help them have a bit of like, reassurance, and a bit of pushback on that, or whatever it is. You know, if you're a personal trainer, maybe somebody's like, ah, I don't want to go to the gym today. You know, you could send them back a response, or you could have some pre-scripted responses. Get off your ass, lazy. Get in the gym. Don't forget your goals. You know, like blah, blah, blah. Like there could be a whole bunch of stuff. So I think, once again, there's definitely lots of different ways that you could use this one as well. But also in like a helpful way. Like, I mean, they could genuinely be helpful for the right people. Like just because it's pre-scripted or anything like that. Because sometimes people are just looking for like validation that they're doing the right thing. Or they're just looking for somebody to tell them they're doing the wrong thing. To kick them out of whatever they're about to do. Or, you know, sometimes people just need a really simple response. And oftentimes the thing that you need to say is really simple, and it is often the same for many people. Like I can't count the number of coaching clients I've had that I've told exactly the same thing to. And it's not because I didn't listen to them or care or anything like that. It's just that people generally have the same problems, or people generally need the same help. And yes, there's outliers who need something different, but when you deal with people at any sort of volume, there are always common themes.
I feel like you could put this into an AI wrapper. Like I was talking about Jocko GPT earlier, how hard would it be to, you need an intake form, right? And so you know enough about the person that when they text, it APIs to Jocko GPT, who you're like, oh, this is Karen. Here's Karen's entire bio. Here's the message she sent, so that it has full context and can answer Karen exactly the way Karen needs to be answered, right?
Yeah.
That actually sounds like something fun to build on, like Lovable or something like that. It would be pretty easy to do this, honestly, if they were willing to pay a small fee and then fill out enough information about themselves. It wouldn't be hard to have, you know, Jocko in your corner, or, you know, you could call it something else where it's not necessarily Jocko, you know, the tough love coach, or whatever it is, or maybe the three different variations. I don't know. That just gave me a bunch of ideas actually how to do this. All right. So this one, I don't know how you want to relate this one to business, John, but it's like the oops strategic accident. So I was a little confused when I started researching it, but it was like, oh my God, I didn't mean to send you that with a, like, you know, a full frontal photo, if you will, but it's calculated, right? Triggers tips, from guilt or excitement, right? That was meant for someone else, but do you like it? Everyone gets an accident eventually. Like it's in the play. Like this is in the playbook, in the research that I did. So how could you do like an accident? I'm really trying to think hard in business of like, how do you accidentally send something so good that someone would almost feel good. I don't really want them to feel guilty, but I do want to feel like, I want to give them that feeling like they got something they shouldn't have got, or FOMO.
Yeah. It'd be like a special deal. Right. I mean, I think that's the one that comes to mind, like, or what looks like a special deal. So maybe you're like a real estate agent, you know, you've got a house you want to move, and it's got what looks like a good price. You could like accidentally just send it to somebody and be like, oh, and then send them a message and be like, you know, your first message could be like, hey man, I wanted you to see this. It's under asking price, blah, blah, blah. You can grab it now. And then like text them like a minute later. Oh, sorry. Wrong person. I sent you this great deal. I didn't mean you to send it to you, but like, if you're interested, you know, do you want to grab it? Now's your chance. Because I'm going to send it to the right person soon. But if you really want it, you can have it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you could do that with physical products as well. If you had a physical product you really wanted to move, you could like send it to somebody with like what looks like a really cheap price, and then be like, oh, sorry, that deal wasn't meant for you.
So that, go, I actually did that, right?
And then they go, oh, dang it, I was really excited about that. And you go, well, you know what? I can probably hook you up with that same deal if you want.
So the moment you started talking, that's the first thing that came to mind. I was part of a company. I'm not going to disclose which company it was, but we did that. We sent out an email and was like, oh my God, we're so sorry. Some people pointed out yesterday the price was this price. We didn't mean to do that, but since someone spotted it, we're going to honor it for all of you. It fucking worked. I felt terrible to be part of this team that did that, but it works. God damn it.
It's dodgy for sure. But it works. Definitely it works. People like to feel like they're getting access to things that they're not supposed to, or that they're never going to get access to again, or, you know, like taking advantage of, you know, people love to take advantage of mistakes. It's like when you've got like an e-commerce store and you accidentally list a product for like $0. I don't know if you've ever done that. And then like a bunch of people go and actually order it. It's like, you know, it's not $0, but like, it feels like such a great opportunity that you're just going to try it anyway.
All right, next one is called the personal number, right? So I'm sure we've all been on someone's In fact, I just signed up for one today to get on someone's list, and it was like their text. I know it's not them, but the OnlyFans are taking it a step further, right? They're doing the same thing as they do with their DMs. They're like, you know, have a team running this. So they'll have a WhatsApp. You get your own personal number. I assume, you know, it's the same thing as DMs, right? Like a nutritionist could do this, have a private number so you can call them anytime, and it's just their team doing it, right? Or can you provide an emergency number? I know certainly I've been part of, I don't want to call them masterminds, but kind of little groups where like the head person had a Voxer that you could use. Now that was actually them responding, but it felt like access that you didn't have before.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of other marketers do this. Like you can add like the text line in. Like when you're buying something off them, they'll often have an upsell to add like my personal text line, you know, so you can text them like questions or whatever it is. And it's like an upsell in their sales funnel, right? And so you can add that for an extra $50 or $100 or whatever the price on it is. And I think you're right. I think oftentimes it is actually a text line that they do go and look at every so often. Is it their personal phone number they carry around with them? No, of course it's not. It's like just they've got another phone sitting over there, right?
Ty Lopez told me he carries two phones, and one of them he's answering most of the time. Are you telling me Ty Lopez is lying to me?
Look, I don't know. Say the SEC at the moment saying Ty Lopez.
We love you, Ty. Hey, we love you, Ty. Come on, anytime, buddy. Come on, I love
How's
Ty.
How's those e-commerce businesses going, bro?
All right, so the next is like a fake exclusive channel. So we're recording this quite early from when this comes out, but I assume John and I are going to do this. So here's the OnlyFans version. Private Telegram for serious fans only. It's the same content. It's slightly repackaged. You can say it's capped. I'm sure it's not going to be capped, right? But you can say you're more real there. Honestly, it's they're using VAs for this. Where I think we could use it in our business, John, is, and God willing, by the time this comes out, we're signed up, is like having a private community on the back end of a YouTube subscription, right? Having a private community. I think we're going to use something like Supercast. I assume this is done. If you're watching this when this comes out, there's probably a link below for this stuff. But, you know, this is very, very common in the podcasting space to have a place where, you know, go listen to the episodes 2 days early, ad-free, get, you know, access, again, access here to John and myself, or you know, interact with the community. There's a lot of people doing this. I don't think this one's that uncommon, so it doesn't shock me that, you know, OnlyFans is like, hey, pay a little extra and come be part of this community where maybe they share a few extra photos.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I think this one is, a lot of people are doing this. Could a lot more people be doing some version of this where you've got like a limited access, you know, serious people kind of community where, you know, you're paying something a month to be a part of that and you get access to something that nobody else does. I mean, yeah, this is quite common. It could be a lot of things though. I mean, like, you know, like things like buyers clubs and stuff like that as well. Like if you think about it, if you've got an e-commerce business, and, you know, shout out a little idea to some of our high ticket dropshipping listeners, you could have like a buyer's club that people pay X percent a month to be in, and then you offer them discounts that are only offered to them. You don't advertise them publicly or anything like that. And so if you're looking for a way to offer discounts that your suppliers aren't going to have a problem with, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, get people to pay you $50 a month and you're going to offer them special discounts.
But all this stuff is like, you're not paying for actual access, right? Some of these things were closer to it than that, but like it just makes you feel important, right? It makes you feel like you're a priority. It makes a personal update like more personal, right? I don't know. Some of this stuff seemed like a no-brainer to me, that maybe I'm not doing it the same way the OnlyFans people are. But I think for that whole section, really, you could probably be doing a lot of this stuff in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is a version of all of that that any business could be doing right now that will generate them a little bit of extra money off the doing the thing itself, but also like it's just gonna build out your list of like really warm and hot leads essentially for your business, and so definitely ton of great ideas there for sure.
All right, we're deep in this episode, so if you're still here, we're going to get fucking nerdy now, okay? So someone leaked an actual OnlyFans CRM, like spreadsheet that they use. Now, I would use a CRM, but dude, I was blown away. Again, why are we not doing this in our businesses, right? So some of us are doing some of this, but just listen to what the OnlyFans people are tracking about their users on the platform, right? Their username, their real name if they figured it out, location and time zone, job and estimated income, the car they drive, right? If they mention it in chat, they're going to pull that out of there, right? Relationship status, kids' name and ages, their rating details of their member down below, specific fetishes they may have, monthly spending history, emotional triggers. they would have a note section of like October 3rd, had a fight with their wife, or October 10th, kid's birthday next week, right? Your whole team is taking notes of all the little things you're putting in chat. They tip heavy when they're drunk. They're traveling for work. They get lonely when they travel for work. They're more active when they're doing this. They get competitive when I mentioned Big Spender 69 or something like that, right? Tips more after the gym. Goes quiet during school holidays because they're likely with the kids. Or spending patterns, right? Big spender on paydays, you know, maybe the 1st and the 15th of the month. They're emotional spender after fights. They're a good drunk tipper on Friday nights or Sunday night. These guys often get lonely. So the VA like can have all of this in the CRM. So when they do their private DM or their private Telegram or their private text or whatever they're doing, they can ask about his Corvette. They can mention the promotion he wanted. They can reference his back surgery or his dog named Max or whatever. So one of the leak profiles that I was able to find had 47 data points of a single customer tracked over 6 months. These people know their customer better than anyone I've ever met, like anyone I've ever met. So I kind of laid out a couple ways we could do this with a couple of the advertisers here, but where does your brain go immediately, John? Like, we do this, right? But we don't do this.
Yeah.
Oh, this definitely is insane.
Yeah. I mean, customer data is everything. Sometimes businesses buy and sell for large amounts of money based on the amount of data they have about people. Not even so much their products or their services and the value in those, but just because business B wants this person's data over here, their customer data, so that they can use it for their business over here. And so they buy this business just for that. Discard all the shit that business was doing and just keep the customer data. Like, data is like, it's power, this sort of customer data, for sure. And just to be clear, this is the creators that are tracking this. This is not OnlyFans, the company that's tracking this. Just like, we're not saying that, but like the creators, yeah. I mean, I think particularly if you have a team and you want a team to be doing stuff for your business, like tracking things about your customers, but it's not even just your customers, about any of the people you have relationships with. So like, if you have suppliers for your business, right, and there's an important person in that relationship at that supplier, kind of makes sense to have some notes about them, right? Like, not just like, what's their name, what's their phone number, but like, where do they live? Like what part of the country do they live in? Are they married? Do they have kids? You know, are they interested in particular things? You know, what do they always talk about when like, what's the small talk? All of that sort of stuff. Not because so that you can necessarily use that in some nefarious manner to try and extract more out of them, but just like, hey, it's Christmas time. You've done a ton of business with this person over the last year. You want to buy them a thank you gift. What do you get them? Well, if you know what they're interested in and whether they've got kids or whether they play golf or whether they love the, you know, the Cowboys or whatever, like, it's really easy for you to do things for them that actually feel personal to them. And of course, this is what the OnlyFans people are using this for. They're using this to play off people's actual things that are specific to them to extract more money, right? Essentially. But like, you can use it, that knowledge, in so many different ways. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all.
I sketched one out here, so let's walk through it, right? So imagine you're the golf pro, the trainer that we've been talking about, right? It'd be very easy for you to keep track of or have your clients tell you this stuff: your handicap, your average score. You're likely playing mostly on one course, right? Or maybe a few different courses in the area. So you're going to know the worst holes. You're certainly going to know all of their distances, or hopefully they should know all of their club distances, right? You're going to know who they play with, the courses they brag about, their rivals at the club. You're likely going to know their job title, their income level, the car they drive, the watch they wear, right? They're also going to tell you while you're training them, hey, I just got a bonus, or I lost to my brother-in-law this week, or the divorce settlement came through. You're going to know intimate things about them that you can choose to use in your favor or not in your favor. I'll get to how you can use it here in a minute. But like, insecurity patterns, like, they can't break 90, and they're very insecure about the fact that they can't break 90. They shank under pressure. I feel that one deep down to my core. I used to be someone who choked a lot in golf. Thank you, Elliot, for removing that. We won our league the year after I started working with Elliot. So I used to be a choke artist. March 3rd, lost 500 to his buddy Tom. March 10th, wife made fun of his swing. March 17th, closed a huge deal at work. March 24th, saw ex-wife with her new boyfriend who plays scratch. April 1st, drunk at the range, talked about quitting, right? Or April 8th, just bought a new Rolex, right? Or mentions his college golf career every session, right? So you can use this to say, after they tell you they had a bad round, be like, saw you posted a 95, let's fix that driver before Saturday, right? Or, hey, Tom's been taking lessons with me, just saying ... or new Titleist drivers just came in, you want to test it, right? Like, I'm sure, again, you're gonna work, you know, have affiliate deals, you're gonna have things you want to sell here before they're bringing a guest. like you see that they're going to bring a guest. You can see they signed up at the club and they're bringing somebody important. Maybe it's their boss like that. You could hit them with a, hey, want to do a 4-session package real quick to embarrass your boss or embarrass your partner or make yourself look good. There's a lot of things that you can do to monetize this, right? Like, you know, he lost to Tom. So you could say, hey, want to do emergency session before your next round. You know, he got a bonus in March. So you can say, hey, season long coaching program. Well, you're motivated, right? And charge him $5,000 for the season. If you can't break 90, you could have a whole package for people who can't break 90. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's a website that's like breaking 90 or breaking 80.com all around this, right? So I know this is a real thing. If you saw that he showed up with a new Rolex, you might want to, you know, adjust your prices accordingly, right? Or if the ex has a scratch golfer boyfriend, you might say, let's get you to single digit handicap, like a $10,000 program. Like, you can find people's motivation and, you know, use it to grow your business. Now, again, this one really fucking rides a line here, John. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm curious how you feel about it, because you could really look at this both ways. Do you feel like you would use this effectively to grow your business and then feel bad that you did it, or use this effectively to grow your business and then feel fine about it?
Depending on the business and depending on the outcome that people are seeking to achieve that your business helps them provide, I think there's probably levels to the ick factor here. I think it's probably going to be more for some than others, but like, no, I don't think I would have a problem with this. Like, I mean, you're not obtaining this information through nefarious means. Like, this is in some way going to be information that is volunteered to you. You're recording it so that you can track it for sure and track changes in it over time. But once again, it's still information that's volunteered to you. You're not getting it for dodgy means. And then actually using it, well, I mean, you would have two avenues there. You could definitely use a lot of this sort of stuff just to extract information from people by playing on their insecurities and their fears, their desires, et cetera, and sell them things they don't actually really need. You could do that. And if that's you, then you could go and do that. It's going to be illegal to do it, so like, go and do it. But you could also use this to genuinely help people. Like, I mean, you know, if you can, if somebody is genuinely feeling taking notes, Ben is a choke artist.
Used to be.
Like, if that's the case, and I can actually help you fix that, right? Like, genuinely, I have a good chance that I can sell you something, whether it's my advice, whether it's a product, whatever, that genuinely does help people with getting past their choking under pressure, let's say. Like, it's almost beholden on me that I should be selling you that. Why would I hold that back from you if I know that you need that and I'm confident that I have the ability to fix that for you? It's my duty to sell it to you.
Well, it's clear the OnlyFans crowd is more on the extraction side, right? I think you and I always come from a good place. Like, if I can help you, I'm going to help you, right? So I threw another little one in here about like dog training, right? Like, if you are training someone's dog and they tell you, you know, you can tell the holidays are coming up, right? And they say their family's visiting. Well, you might want to do like a special let's prep for the holidays thing, right? Or they told you a baby's coming. You might want to do like a safety program around your dog training and babies, right? And so all of this are logical upsells if you just like put your ear to the ground and pay attention, right? You often say, call every single one of your customers. And it's for this, right? You're going to learn so much about them. You're going to learn all this little stuff, and we're pattern matching machines. So I think there is a, you know, there's a an angel and a devil on both my shoulders, and all of you who are listening to this. And there's one way you could do this, and there's another way you could do this. And I think you and I at least are on the same page that, you know, you could use this for good. And it is indeed your duty to actually help someone if you can actually help someone, and rather than extract. So I'm not a fan of how they're extracting. I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating that they're doing a better job with a CRM and this data tracking than anyone I've ever met before. But I don't think I would do it the same way.
Yeah, look, I think the takeaways for businesses here is like, you should definitely find out as much as you can about your customers in a legitimate way, right? Ask them questions, you know, find out what they're buying your products or your services for. What are they trying to achieve? What are they looking to avoid? Like, whatever it is. But you should track it, like actually track it consistently for every single person, because when your business gets out of volume or to scale, you know, you're going to have tons of customer data, and you can start like using tools to help you segment it. And here's this group of buyers over here that need this, and I can send them something. And here's this group over here, and I can send them something else. And so I think what most businesses do is they know a lot of this stuff about the people they have relationships with, but they just don't have it written down. Like, they don't have it recorded anywhere, or it's in some dodgy spreadsheet over here rather than in a proper CRM program, which will help them actually automatically sort people into different categories and stuff like that. So that would be the takeaway for me is, one, get information about your customers that are, you know, that allow you to help them and allow you to provide them the best service or a product or whatever you can, and then record it in like a proper program so that you can actually make good use of that information. Like every business should be doing that. Like I don't see a scenario where you shouldn't be making every effort to do that.
All right. So the final part is exclusive, right? And I think this one, there's a lot to learn in here too, if I'm honest with you, right? So the first one I found was like the custom video. I'll call it what it is, a scam. She films herself in lingerie and she says, "This is just for you, David," right? And then films the exact same thing 20 times, right? "This is just for you, John. This is just for you, BK." And it just cuts, right? Everything else is identical. Same outfit, same move, same everything. And sells it for $200 for exclusive content, right? And again, you're going to get past people's radar if you can just get past that first cut. That's all it is, right? And if you can make that transition good, it's going to be pretty easy. But I came to the golf one. I'll save that one if you have an idea, John. But immediately this fired like a million ways you could do this in most businesses, because it's not necessarily like custom video. It's more like you mentioned earlier, when you coach somebody, it's like 10 problems that you're coaching people on. And so why wouldn't you have something pretty standard to teach? I mean, that's what a course is, right? But pretty standard to teach. And then when it's time for you to help someone, you know their problem, you can just send a personalized video that says, "Hey, Sally," and then it's the rest. "I've been working on this thing, blah, 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 blah," and send it off to them, right? Like, this seems very obvious to me to systemize a business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think you can do that. And once again, I don't think there's necessarily, I mean, it's a little bit gray. Like, you're pretending it's completely custom, but it's not, of course. But like, does that actually matter? Like that's the interesting thing. Like, once again, I come back to, if the thing that you're providing them at the end of the day is actually genuinely helpful for them or is doing something for them, then what's wrong with it?
Like the golf guy, like, how many different problems can you have with a swing? There's not that many, right? I mean, there's a lot of pieces to a swing, but there's a lot of things most people get wrong. Coming over the top, which is why they slice, or their feet aren't set up, or their grip isn't set up right. And so, you know, it wouldn't be hard to be like, "Hey, John, I made a video solving your problem. Cut to, here I am holding a club. Now, you don't want to make sure your grip is like this." When you know it's the person's grip problem, they would be none the wiser that you're, you know, have an overhead view of you holding the grip of a club, right? I assume it probably works for the OnlyFans lady too, right? Even if you notice the cut, she said your name, you're 20 seconds into something you've been working on here, you're going to forget about it when the rest of the video is badass. So, like, I actually think I'm cool with this on both sides, but I do think you could implement this in your business pretty good. The next one's kind of similar, right? It's called Your Fantasy. So you describe your fantasy, and she has 50 pre-made videos, right? She matches your request to whatever's closest. You want a nurse outfit? She's got a medical role play video, right? I would imagine, now there's definitely going to be outliers, and you could probably do an entire hilarious episode on all of those outliers, but like, there's probably 10, 20 fantasies that most men have. And so if she just makes 10 or 20 videos, right? And maybe she creates a new intro for it or whatever. I think you could do this one pretty easy in your business as well. This seems so logical to me. A lot of these just like hit me in a spot of like, why wouldn't you run your business this way rather than doing something custom for everybody? Like, this just feels like an opportunity for you to create 10, 20 things and hand them out as you see the problem coming for somebody.
Yeah, and you can kind of flip the fantasy thing, right? Like, I mean, if you think about like a dog trainer, and you know, the owner's got a problem with their dog jumping on people or barking at people when they come to the front door or something like that. Like, the owner's fantasy could be that my dog doesn't jump on people and it doesn't bark at people when they come to the front door. And so, like, you could then send them something which would be exactly the same thing for anybody who has the problem of their dog jumping on guests or barking at people when they come into the house or whatever. Because many dogs do that, you know, so their fantasy is the dog doesn't do that. So you send them the stuff to help them fix that in their dog, or whatever that is. It's going to be like, maybe you got to template it out videos or something like that of you doing the training things with a dog that they need to do. Like, this is what you need to do every day to make your fantasy come true.
Dude, these are, I'm going back to one of our older episodes, by the way, kick-ass episode 3, where we talk about the PDF stuff. These are your upsells that where you can charge a little bit more, right? So you listed out like 5 different books that would fall in your thing, or even 10 in some of those, if I remember right. How could you just layer on this, like, this exclusive for you button to that, right? Like you're going to be upselling these PDFs anyway, right? And like, if you sell them one and do a survey with it, you're going to know the other problems they have. And then you could send them a personalized version of like if their dog's name is Max, right? You're doing a dog training thing. You start with just like, you know, barking at the front door is your first PDF, right? And the next one is like jumps on guests, and you want to upsell that, but you know, they jump on guests based on their survey. Rather than hit them with the upsell right away, just be like, actually, I made a personalized Don't jump on guests for Max. Your type of dog is special in this way. And like, it wouldn't be hard to personalize it. And then rather than charging 27, you're charging 97 because they think it's a personalized thing for Max, right? This, I don't know. Some of these, again, are like giving me really good ideas in every business that I'm running. And they're not all that unique. It's just, I'm kind of shocked that it's this sophisticated over on OnlyFans.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. It's impressive.
All right, so this one's called the name personalization trick. You take a generic photo and you Photoshop someone else's name on the piece of paper in the shot or writes it on her body with a marker. $50 for a personalized photo. That one, I don't know how you would automate that one. So like the piece of paper one makes sense. Like if you have a really good photo and they could just like put a name on there, I guess that makes sense. I don't know. How would you use that in business? Like, is there something you could do? Maybe you go back to the PDF thing. Like, all right, imagine you're a nutritionist and you're selling meal plans. It wouldn't be hard to like make it someone's personal meal plan. Again, maybe this just goes to that last idea I had where you're upselling some of this stuff. Like you could sell a keto meal plan as a PDF and that's your $27 offer that we talked about in episode 3, but you could personalize this stuff to somebody in your community, right? Like when you know they have their own issues, you could, you know, swap out dairy if they don't do dairy, you could swap out certain meats if they don't do certain meats and then call it, you know, Sarah's meal plan, right? Or Sarah's keto meal plan and make it feel a little more personalized.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that'd be the way to go. Like if you had a general offer that was just like, yeah, here's the product that you're trying to sell everybody, like just, and it's just like, yeah, it's a generic kind of keto meal plan that you could give to anybody, but then like you have a extra sell on that for like an extra $50. Get your custom or your personalized keto meal plan. They add that. You ask them a few questions probably, get their name and all of that sort of stuff, and then yeah, there would be a method definitely to then personalize that meal plan to them. For sure, and just send them something that's a little bit different. And once again, quite possibly in a genuine way, a little bit different. Or maybe it's just got their name on the front and all of that sort of thing. And you know, if they're a woman, you have a version for a woman. If they're a man, then you have a version for a man and all of that sort of stuff. And it looks a little bit different to the main product. And genuinely, if you ask them a few questions and you actually were able to narrow down, you know, how your solution could fit them better, maybe you would actually have 3 or 4 different versions of it. You know what I mean? And you just send them, put their name on it and send them version 3 instead of the general version. You know what I mean?
Well, these are getting scammier as we go, right? So this one's called yes. From my personal collection. I fucking love this one, by the way. This is hilarious to me. So they sell panties, right? That's certainly a thing. Worn just for you. These were my favorite. I wore them just for you. And they're literally buying them in bulk and they're spraying them with perfume and they've never worn them. And they sell these for $50, $60, $75, $100 for like worn panties. So to me, this is genius. And like, look at those fucking margins, John. What are you buying a pair of underwear for? Like a buck or two? This is really fucking smart to me.
Yeah. Totally scammy too.
Yeah. I'm not sure where I could do this. No one's buying BK's panties. You know what I mean? Like, and if you are, send me a fucking, leave a comment. I'll give you a pair. But I don't know how you relate this to your business. I'm not sure I even have a good idea.
No, this is a tough one. I mean, obviously, and this does happen. I mean, they don't generally do it for profit, but like, people who have some sort of following, like sports people will often, football players will auction off the boots that they wore in the last match, or maybe a pair of training boots or something like that. Like they actually wore them. They actually are they're actually a kind of limited supply. And, you know, it's not like they're going to go and scam it out and actually have a warehouse full of these boots that they've never worn, but they say they wore them and put a few grass stains on them or something and say, yeah, I wore them for sure. You know what I mean? They're not doing that in that case, but I guess you would have to have some level of fame for this to work, like either within a community or something like that. And you would have to have tools that you use in the course of doing whatever it is that you do.
When I was a kid, we ran the scam in reverse. My brother and I would find addresses of athletes and write letters and be like, we're really poor. We're your biggest fan. Send us some fucking gloves and shit. We did it forever. Nothing ever happened. No one ever sent us anything. And then my dad found one to Barry Bonds. I remember it specifically because we got our fucking asses spanked so hard. He was so mad about this. And then still, like a year later, I did it again. again, I sent a letter to Barry Alvarez, who was head of the sports. I don't know what they call him anymore, at the University of Wisconsin. And he sent us tickets back. So he, first off, he knows it's a 10-year-old boy, and I drew pictures of the Badgers football players. Where does he send us tickets, John? He puts us right in the middle of the student section. I'm 10. I'm hearing some of the nastiest shit you've ever heard. The chants they do at a Wisconsin football game are wild. But yeah, we used to try that scam all the time, man. I wanted to get free shit. You know what else we did? We used to send in letters to like Mountain Dew and Pepsi and shit, and say, oh, we got a flat 12-pack or a flat 24-pack, and they'll send you a coupon for a free one every fucking time, man. I don't know. I was an idiot kid.
That's gold.
All right, let's go.
What a surprise you ended up here.
All right, so the next one is the limited digital lie, right? So I've only made 3 of these videos. I'm deleting it tomorrow. Last chance. It's digital content. You know, she can make infinite copies of this digital content, right? She's not going to delete them. It creates fake scarcity. I would assume the churn here is pretty wild. And so, you know, when you offer this, you can just offer it again 6 months down the road, and then offer it again 6 months down the road. I would assume like you could just recycle a lot of this stuff. You know, John and I don't really love a good fake scarcity. What do you think of this one?
People do this all the time. Yeah. I've seen this so many times from like information product sellers. Oh yeah, I'm bringing in 20 students closing today, and then you won't get in. And then like 2 weeks later, I'm bringing in 20 students, you won't get in, blah, blah, blah. Oh, books are closing at the end of this month, buy it now. And then 2 days later, books are open again. Like, and it's like, yeah, okay, right. That's just the fake scarcity thing. It 100% works every single time. I will say that. And it's kind of 100% illegal in most countries. If you do this repeatedly, time and time again, you drive fake scarcity. Like, technically, like if you're in the US, for example, the FTC has a problem with this sort of stuff. Right now,
have you ever seen an FTC OnlyFans lawsuit come across your screen? I don't think I've seen that yet.
No, not yet. But like, technically, yeah. Like, I mean, there's a lot of platforms and stuff that are like saying like fake discounts and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Discounts that are expiring and then they just magically continue the next day with a different discount code, but it's really the same discount. All of that sort of stuff. You know, it's not looked at very in a very friendly way in a lot of places. I think if you're on a smaller scale, nobody cares for sure. Nobody's going to pull you up on it. Your customers might think you're a dick at some point, but a lot of marketers don't really care about that. And so, yeah, look, it works. I don't like to do it, but it works.
All right, the next one I put in here, and I don't really know how you could relate it to business, I'll be honest. This is, they record one moan track and drop in 50 different names. There's no way it's one track. So like, oh, David, oh, Mike, please don't use this against me. Oh, Mike, you know, same audio, just different name changes. Like my kids they go around the house and go, oh yeah, their mom hates it. Something like that, right? But very personalized. I don't know how we're doing this in our business, right? Like there's no one reaching out to you and I and saying, please say my name, John and Ben.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could do it for like advice, I suppose.
It was generic advice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, once again, going back to that thing of like, if you knew some things about your customers and you knew that certain customers were likely to have certain problems that they needed to solve or certain things that they needed to do based on who they were or what they owned or whatever, I guess you would obviously then have a range of pre-planned advice or things that you could send them with a personalized front end. But it's the same for like, you know, everybody. So yeah, I mean, I think you could do it. Would people pay for it? Look, I don't know why people are paying for it on OnlyFans either, but like, that ain't me. But like, you know, I mean, maybe.
I picture it for like leads, right? Like most service-based businesses are doing the same thing every day, right? And so like you could be like, hey, you know, I've seen this problem before. It's kind of like the golf grip thing, right? Like you just, hey, I've seen this before and here's the thing that you need, right? Or you know, someone who's doing like landscaping is probably going to be doing similar landscaping everywhere, right? They could have a generic video or pressure washing or something like that. Like trying to think through like weather patterns, right? Someone who plows snow up here is going to have a very generic message that they could make personal. So I don't know. That one's super simple to me. I don't think it's something you're selling. It's probably something that like is more helping you lower churn, right? So actually I think this next one is kind of like that too. So it's called the secret technique, right? It's like, I don't usually do this, but I'll show you my secret. And it's the same thing they post publicly, but like, you know, this is how I really get off. And she sends it to, you know, whoever tips over $50. Right. And again, you're trying to like maintain a relationship with your whales so that they continue coming back. And again, call me ignorant if you want. I watched a bunch of YouTube videos on this. This one makes sense to me. I get it. I think you could use it in a retentive. Is that the way you say that? In a retention sort of way, like a plumber, right? Like a, if you have a plumber on speed dial, if you're in that community, the plumber could say, hey, I don't usually share this, but here's my plumber's secret for getting rid of clogs. Like it's more like a value add rather than something I'm going to sell you for $10 or $20 or $30, right? And certainly your plumber's not in a tipping culture, right? He's in that little community. He's not searching for tips, although, you know, maybe we will be someday. I'm not sure. But like this one seems pretty obvious. I guess like we're already doing that. When you're sending out a newsletter, you're going to point out like the, here's the, you know, here's the value I find. Value, like it's just little tidbits of value that you're sending out in your email sequences. So this feels very similar to that.
Yeah, yeah. And you're just doing it, once again, like you say, for your maybe your larger clients or your larger customers or people you want to have a higher level of ongoing relationship with for whatever the reason is, you're just sending them, yeah, like stuff that you might not send to other people. You send them all the same thing, but it's like, it could genuinely be stuff that you're not sending out anywhere else for sure. But yeah, it's not something you're selling, but this is a retention thing. Like it keeps them coming back, keeps them engaged with you, you know, makes them feel special as well because they're getting something that, you know, if you catch it right, they're getting something that nobody else is getting, the whole insider knowledge thing. So I think almost any business could have a version of this. And once again, I think it goes back to like, this is only effective if you plan it out and you do it consistently, right? Like it's something you would want to have in your calendar or reminders in your CRM. Once again, if you're tracking all of the information about your customers in a CRM, you should have reminders that are like, hey, send out messages to blah, 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 and blah, blah, about this today. So that you're actually doing it. It's one of those things where all like, oh yeah, I could do that. I know I could do that, but you never do it because you have no plan to do it.
The next one's right up the same alley, right? It's like segmentation, the mass individual message. You just send the same nude picture to 500 people through DMs individually. Each guy thinks he's special, thought you'd like this, made you think of me, and you copy and paste your entire list, right? So like, why wouldn't you do that in your bit? You're going to segment people in your list. Like the golf pro is going to, you know, these guys are slicers, these guys are hookers, these guys have, you know, over the top swings, or these guys' stance are different, right? You're going to segment groups of people. And then when you send out a link, hey, I saw this YouTube video, you're going to send it to all the slicers. Like that's just like standard, should be standard business, right? You know, and I know business is simple, but people are lazy. People aren't doing any of this stuff. Like actually reading through all of this, John, I kind of want to like take the time to turn this into like a real document, because like, I don't know how your hook would be. It'd be a weird hook to be like, what OnlyFans taught me about marketing or some shit like that. But all of these are literally principles you could apply in your business. Now there's certainly some sketchy ones we went through in here, but you could probably pull of the, whatever we went through, 25, you could probably pull 17, 18 out of here, a couple 13, 14 out of here, and like turn this into actually something powerful that if you just went through it, like here's five things you can do for retention in your business that are going to grow your business, right? Some of the things that you can do that are not scalable, right? Like a lot of these things are not scalable. Some of them are, but a lot of them are not scalable that are actually really going to grow your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. Like it's, once again, this is not one that you're selling. This is a retention play. Keeps people feeling special. Like every business can do this. And it's just about having the system and the process built into your business so that it actually happens. Like it's not hard. It's definitely not hard. All you need to do is you need to know something about your customers, like who they are, what they're interested in, what their problems are, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You're probably going to be making the content one way or another anyway. It's just about having somebody send it out to them. Like, and once again, it doesn't even have to be you. It could be one of your employees. It could be a virtual assistant. It could be somebody, you know, anywhere in the world that's sending this stuff out on your behalf. You know, we say it a lot, like attention is everything in marketing at the moment. And doing these little last few things we spoke about, it keeps people's attention on you as the person that they need in their life to help them with whatever the thing it is that you help people do or achieve, or the outcome you help people achieve in your business. And so 100%, great idea. I love the last one.
I wouldn't be shocked if I turned this into a little handbook, like the whole thing. Like this easily could be something. If you're here, I want to know what you learned. Like if you're in YouTube, if you're on Spotify, leave a comment. What did you take from this? Like certainly some of this is hilarious. You know, we love our editor. Sorry you had to edit this. I'm sure there was some parts in there where you're like, these guys are morons. But like, you know, you probably learned something from this. If you're still here, you know, thank you for being here. Leave a little comment in YouTube. Leave a little comment in Spotify. Tell us what you learned. And I don't know, we'll come back in a few episodes and do the other part of this. It's called the Cash Framework. It's like a little more on the dark side of stuff that they're doing. But like, yeah, I think you'll find that one. If you find this one fun, you're going to find that one fun too.
Hey, real quick, while I have you here at the very end of the show, John and I are trying to grow our social media channels. We're also sharing what we're doing from some of these podcasts on the social media. So we'd love to have you follow us. You can find us at Low Bar Podcast on TikTok and on X, and you can find us at Low Bar Pod on Instagram and on Facebook. Of course, all of these will be in the show notes of every episode. So if you could give us a follow, maybe like a few posts. Obviously, we're trying to grow our business too. Thank you so much for listening and following along and helping us grow what John and I are trying to build here.